Good morning.
Good morning.
Congratulations. You all have made it to the right place at the right time this morning, right? And that's not a given on a day like this, but you made it, and we have a number of people watching remotely from other locations, unable to be here, and so give them a quick wave. They're watching from our live stream. It's good to have you guys other places that you're with us today in spirit, and we worship God together. Next Sunday will be Keith and Janine, their family, to be their last Sunday with us. And so it'll be different after that. There will be an absence here. And Keith and your family, we want y'all to know we're going to miss you. I've not had what Keith and I have had as partners in ministry. I've not had that like we've had that. And church, we've been blessed for the Thompsons being with us and in a big way. And I believe that the church is getting stronger and will get stronger in the future. And we pray for Bigsby, and we know that they love us, and the kingdom in the Tulsa area is getting stronger. And so God is doing what he does, and we love that, and we're behind that. So keep that all in your prayers. Exodus chapter 3, we looked at this last week. Exodus chapter 3. And Moses, when Moses encountered God with the burning bush, remember Moses was tending the flocks, his father-in-law's herds, and he was in the wilderness doing that, and he sees a bush, and it's on fire, and he goes over to it to investigate, and then he hears a voice. And this voice to Moses out of this bush says, "Do not come near, take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." God went on to say, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. If God were here right now in a physical way, in this sermon I'm going to talk about God being, if God were to reveal himself in a physical way, and sometimes I'll say if God were to reveal himself in a real way, or if God were to show himself in a real way, God, we know God's real, so don't misunderstand me. We know God's real, and we know God's here. But if he were to show us in a way we could see him, what would we do? Sometimes when we worship like this, sometimes for example, when we sing, when we worship God in song, sometimes we, as individuals, we may struggle with that. You know, Jesus told his apostles, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Sometimes we struggle. Sometimes it may be that maybe some are, you're not a musical person, and when we sing that the music is, that's not something that you connect with easily. Maybe you don't like the sound of your voice. Maybe it's hard for you to imagine God being here in a real way, and it's hard for you to overcome. I think all of us struggle some with this, the physical. We see physical. We live in a physical world, and maybe the cares of the world are still on your mind, and sometimes it's hard for us to worship really well in spirit. Maybe, and this is something I relate to, maybe you love music, and maybe sometimes you focus too much on the music and not enough on the heart and worshiping God from the heart. But whatever the case, if God were to reveal himself here right now in a physical way where we could see him, make no mistake, we would worship him. We would worship him in a powerful way.
Amen.
Right?
Yes, sir.
However, at first, I'm confident that we would be overwhelmed. And the reason I say that is in Scripture, when God revealed himself to people in a lot of different ways, sometimes through angels, sometimes through speaking out of a burning bush, when God revealed himself to people in Scripture in the past, I say in Scripture, that's where we read about. In history, when God did it, people were overwhelmed. They didn't know what to say. Sometimes it was God's awesomeness. A number of years ago, I took a college group to see the Grand Canyon. We went on a trip, went to see the Grand Canyon. Never seen it before and seen pictures and heard about it. I'll never forget being there and seeing that for the first time. It was overwhelming. It was overwhelming to me. I could have stood there and looked at that all day. It's massive. It's hard to get your mind around, and pictures do not do it service. And you know, a lot of what I want to talk about today is different individuals have gotten a glimpse of God in the past, and they've written about it. It's been recorded. It's in your Bible. It's in Scripture. But that's like looking at a picture. It's different when you see it with your eyes, when you experience it firsthand. But maybe if God were to reveal Himself in a physical way, you would be overwhelmed with His awesomeness. Maybe it would be His power. There are times in Scripture. Remember this time, Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, there was a man possessed by demons, a legion of demons, many demons he was possessed. He lived in the caves, basically the cemetery. They could not bind him with chains. He was tormented day and night. He terrorized, you know, the community. And Jesus cast those demons out. And when people came and saw this man, this demon-possessed man, but when they saw him after Jesus had healed him and made him right of these demons, they saw him sitting there clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. This is not seeing God's power. This is just seeing the after effects of God's power. And these people knew this man and the demons that possessed him, and they knew the power of those demons. They couldn't bind him with the strongest chains they had. They knew the power of those demons, and now they were seeing the effects of one who was more powerful than that. And they were overwhelmed with fear. Maybe it would be God's beauty. This is a statement I thought deserves some merit from C.S. Lewis. You can't analyze God. He is too awesome, too big, too mysterious. Beauty is God's handwriting. Sometimes we see things that are so beautiful, and in that we see God. Maybe if God were to reveal Himself in a real way, the beauty of Him would overwhelm us. Maybe the gentleness. Maybe His gentleness. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. I love this passage, Matthew 2, 11. This is where the wise men come to Jesus. And it says, going to the house, they saw the child. Now, when the wise men went to see Jesus, it was not in the manger. It was not at in Bethlehem, where He was born. It's not at that site. It was sometime later. And Jesus was a little older. Jesus may have been a year old. What would that look like? And so what's so great about this, notice when these wise men came to the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped Him. They fell down and worshiped Him. New American Standard says they fell to the ground. The Holman translation says falling to their knees. Why would the wise men fall to their knees in front of baby Jesus, young Jesus? Why would they do that? I'm going to step out on a limb a little bit, but I think there will be some value in this. Melissa, bring this boy up here that we love. Bring this boy up here. So we don't know how old Jesus was. Maybe about this age right here of Isaac. And there is something precious about seeing a mother with a young child. Amen. Isn't there? So I picture this, and these wise men come in. What would be so overwhelming about Jesus? There's nothing overwhelming about a mother and a young boy. Maybe even a toddler, right? It's beautiful. It's precious. You know what I mean? It's tender. It's loving. But those wise men come in and they know that they are looking at the King of Kings. They know they are looking at the Lord of Lords, the Lamb of God, the Messiah. They know they are looking at the one who created everything. They're looking at the one who is the Savior for all sins, Jesus Christ the Lord, and they fall to their knees. Thank you. That scene doesn't make sense from a human standpoint, but from a spiritual standpoint, when God reveals Himself, even in the innocence and gentleness of a young boy, baby, child, when you get a glimpse of God's presence, you're overwhelmed. These three wise men were overwhelmed. They fall to their knees. Maybe it would be God's holiness. God is perfect. He's sinless. Did you know, think about this, the God we worship, He has never failed you. Amen. He's never failed you. He's holy. He's perfect. Never wrong. Never lacking. Maybe it would be His majesty. If we could understand God's majesty in a real way, we would be overwhelmed by it. Maybe it would be our own guilt. Remember the time, Luke chapter 5, remember the occasion in Luke chapter 5. Jesus is teaching a crowd from the banks of the Sea of Galilee. And He gets into Peter's boat and He says, push out a little bit. He keeps teaching the crowd, and then the teaching's over. He dismisses the crowd, and it's morning time, and Jesus tells Peter, let's go out and drop the nets. Let's push out. Let's go drop the nets. Peter says, we've been fishing all night, Lord. Nothing. We've caught nothing. We've been fishing all night. Now, this comes from a fisherman. These fishermen, they are commercial fishermen. This is not rod and reel fishermen. They're not biting. This is commercial. We drop nets. We catch masses, you know, multiple fish for a living. These men know what they're doing. They know how to do it, where to do it, when to do it. Peter says, we worked all night, got nothing. Jesus says, come on, let's go. They lower their nets. They pull them up. And Scripture says there was such a large number of fish, their nets were breaking. If you were a net maker in the first century, how strong would you make nets? You may think, I don't know. But if we think for a minute, we actually do know. The strength you would make a net is the strength that you would need a net to be to not break when you catch the most fish you're ever going to catch. Right? Nets can be made stronger. They would make nets so that they don't break when we get a big catch. Well, what if it's bigger than that? Well, they're strong enough. That's how you would make nets. Now, I'm not saying there would never be a break in the net. I'm saying not like this. And Peter, those nets, they pull them up. They have to call another boat to come and help with all the fish they catch. And verse 8, when Peter saw it, he fell down to Jesus' knees. He said, depart from me. I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Maybe if we were to see God in a real way, a physical way, maybe we would be overwhelmed by our sinfulness. Maybe it would be God's glory. It's kind of hard to define God's glory, the word glory, but it kind of encompasses all these things. Glory means honor, worthy of praise, magnificence, majesty, greatness. It's kind of all of it. And I wonder what will it be like? What would it be like if God revealed Himself in a real way? What would that glory be like? But I'm pretty confident we would be overwhelmed by it. Overwhelmed. But when we settled down, we would worship. Wouldn't we? We would worship. Matthew chapter 14, this tells about the time that Jesus tells his apostles to go on ahead to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. This would take multiple hours to cross, a few hours to cross, but it took them a while because the waves were against them, and they probably got about halfway across the Sea of Galilee. Jesus goes out in the middle of the night walking to them. He's walking on water, and they think it's a ghost. And Peter calms them down. I'm not a ghost, you know, don't be afraid. And Jesus does. He calms them down, walking on water. And Peter, this is where Peter says, Jesus, if it's you, let me come out there to you and walk on water. Peter does. And then Peter sees the wind. He sees, you know, the waves, and he becomes afraid, begins to sink, and he cries out. Jesus grabs him, get in the boat. Jesus says, why, you know, oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? When they got into the boat, the wind ceased all at once. It became perfectly calm. And what did they do, the disciples in the boat? They worshiped Jesus and they said this, truly you are the Son of God. Have you ever heard about something like the Grand Canyon? You've seen pictures, heard about it, but then you went and actually saw it in person. Something amazing around our, you know, isn't it something that the things of this world, I remember being on a ski lift for the first time, seeing the Rocky Mountains up high on a ski lift. That's not God, that's just something God made, right? It's the difference between seeing a person and something artistic that they created or something with woodworking that they made. We're just seeing what God has made. And when you see things, there's nothing that is like seeing it for yourself. And this happens for us, church. There are times this happens for us when God answers our prayers. For example, I remember an occasion praying about something that was really on my heart. I was worried about it. It was relationship oriented, and I was praying about it. And before I could finish my prayer, the phone rings. So I stopped praying. I put God on hold, and I answer my phone. And the person on the phone is what I was praying about. And as soon as they start talking, I know that God's answered this prayer that I didn't even finish praying. And I remember getting off the phone and looking up. Why we look up to God, right? Where's God? I don't know. But they did it in the Bible too. They looked up. Good is up, bad is down. I looked up. And I looked up because I knew I got a glimpse of God. Right? I looked up to and prayed because God is real. Our faith is what we anchor to, but sometimes God will allow us to get a glimpse. And we worship. Remember when Jesus, after the resurrection, he was resurrected. His apostles, you know, they didn't really fully believe at first. And remember, there was one that really didn't believe. He was doubtful. He said, you're not going to trick him. He just couldn't believe it. And that was Thomas. And Jesus came to where the apostles were after his resurrection. He came to where they were. He goes to Thomas. He says, put your finger here in my hands. Put out your hand. Touch my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. And Thomas answered. Do you remember what Thomas answered? He said, my Lord and my God. If God were to reveal himself in some way to us, we would be overwhelmed. But once we got past that, we would worship. My Lord and my God. And I want just to remind you this morning, God is real. And when we come here, this is a special time of worship. You worship God anytime, anywhere, but it's a special time when we all come together. When we do, I just want to remind you, it's like Jim said up here, we've been doing it a bunch of times, but it's not just a routine. It's not something we just go through the motions. God is here. He's the audience. And we sing to him, and we lift up our hearts to him. Had a conversation with someone recently, and they were worried about something, and we were talking about it, and I gave the line. I said, you know, in 100 years, it's not going to matter, is it? And we laughed a little bit about that, and this person said back to me, he said, yeah, in 100 years, it won't matter, but we'll still be singing How Great Thou Art. And the longer I thought about that, there's a lot to that. In 100 years, the things that we walked in here this morning that are on your mind, that you worry about, the things that we normally, that distract us, the things that we fight against and wrestle and, right, all those things, hey, in 100 years, we won't be doing any of that. But we will still be doing something that we do this morning, and that is praising God. Amen. We'll still be worshiping God. We'll do it in 100 years. We'll do it in 1,000 years. We'll do it in 10,000 years. We will still be worshiping God. And I'm confident in heaven, we will never get tired of it. We'll never get bored of it. You might think, well, I don't like singing. I just don't know. I mean, I might get tired of singing eventually. You never will. We will never get tired of worshiping God Almighty when we can really see Him face to face. We're going to sing a song of encouragement this morning. How Great Thou Art. If you struggle in worship, it's because God is not real enough to you. And we all can relate to that. Spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. We're going to sing How Great Thou Art. If you're here this morning and there's something that is heavy on your heart that we could pray to God on your behalf and with you, if there's one here this morning, you've not had your sins washed away, you've not become a child of God, you're not ready to meet God, we'd love to help you with that. Don't wait. Let us help you. Please come while we stand and sing.
Oh, Lord, my God.